Morning, everybody. I believe there's a Shmiras Halachim Kenes this morning, so we made the shiur earlier this morning. And to get to today's topic is when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos. When Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, so when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, there's actually a machlokes where we have a Shvuah Shechal Bo. As we know, the 3 weeks starts with Shivas of the Tammuz and ends with Tisha B'Av, and we keep certain hilchos aveilus during the 3 weeks, and they intensify as we get closer and closer to Tisha B'Av. And mi'ikar din, most of the halachos only apply in Shvuah Shechal Bo. And over the years, we have been more machmir, and has come as a chumrah over the years that we're machmir on. We're machmir on various things throughout the 3 weeks. You see the Sfaradim, for example, they have haircuts during the 3 weeks until Shavuot Shechal Bo. So it's a different minhagim. But this year there's actually a discussion whether there is a Shavuot Shechal Bo, because maybe it's already considered the new week when it falls, especially since the class is going to be on a Sunday. And the Maisa, the person has a shayla on various themes, you should ask a shayla. So we'll start with Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos is just like any other Erev Shabbos Chazorim, where we're in the 9 days, and therefore there's no haircuts for Shabbos. There's regabe washing for Shabbos, which does it in a limited way. The general rule with washing during the 9 days is that...
So nice, yeah.
Dirt is mutter to remove, but washing for pleasure is what's awesome, as I saw somewhere. People said, but I'm feeling uncomfortable. So someone wrote, so well, that's what how you're supposed to feel during the 9 days. You are supposed to feel uncomfortable. But when it comes to Shabbos with more makel, but nevertheless, we don't use hot water. That doesn't mean a person has to go to freezing cold water and suffer. It means that you don't have it warm, so that it's comfortable and enjoyable. Mikadin, you wash ponavi out of the raglo, face, hands, feet. Obviously, anything which you consider dirty, for example, with places where there's excess perspiration, one may wash. Soap is used as necessary, in other words, to remove dirt, but not for comfort. Same thing that goes for shampoo. Using warm water on the head is permitted for someone who does it every week. Generally speaking, we say that an istinis, someone who is very particular in his personal hygiene, we're going to be more maker with them. And some of the poskim say that in our generation, because we live in with a level of much higher personal hygiene, so it is very uncomfortable for people to lower the level so significantly. In the olden days, you had your bath once a month, whether you needed it or not. Today it's a little bit more frequent than that, and therefore we're a little bit more maker on these issues. I think everybody has to judge for himself as to what's considered comfortable, what's considered not comfortable. When it comes to Shabbos clothing, so the original minhag brought down in the Rishonim, he said, well, Shabbos chazan, we do not wear Shabbos clothing. The idea mainly is because during the 9 days, we don't wear anything that is new or freshly laundered. Our Shabbos clothing usually is freshly laundered. The Nagoyin was very against the idea of Avelus B'Pahesia, generally speaking. Avelus is not knowing on Shabbos, not a personal Avelus, not a public Avelus, meaning someone who sits Shiva during Rahman al-Islam, during the Shabbos, he doesn't sit Shiva, and he wears Shabbos clothes. It's a whole discussion in the past when he goes to Shul, if he doesn't sit in the same seat, he doesn't consider Avelus B'Pahesia. The mice of the meaning is that he does not sit in his regular seat, even if it's in Shabbos. But otherwise, he's got to wear Shabbos clothing, he's got to wear shoes. And what we make the distinction is, Avelus Befarhesia is what's asur, in other words, something which is on public display. Avelus Shibetina, when it comes to a person's private life, then he has to keep the minhagim of Avelus. And generally speaking, we're going to say the same thing when it comes to Tisha B'Av. Something which is on public display, the way we dress is for the public to see. So therefore, the meaning has become that we do not wear our weekday clothing on Shabbos, but rather wear Shabbos clothing. If you have Shabbos clothing that is that is not new. It would be preferred to Shabbos clothing that is new. But essentially, with the halacha is that we do wear Shabbos clothing. The Aruch HaShulchan explains that in the days of the Rishonim, he says the Shabbos clothing, the weekday clothing, was essentially the same style. It was just a question of quality. So it wasn't very noticeable when a person didn't wear Shabbos clothing. Whereas in the days of the Vilna Gaon, they used to wear shtraim on Shabbos and a regular hat during the week. So it was very clear, if you came to shul on Shabbos with a regular hat, people understood that it's a weekday. In fact, Shlomo Kluger brings a story of someone who put tefillin on Shabbos Chazon because he was dressed in weekday clothing and he forgot. So when the difference between the weekday clothing and Shabbos clothing is so noticeable, so then the Vilna Gaon says to not go without Shabbos clothing. So generally the minhag has become that a person should wear Shabbos clothing, but it would mean also something that's not noticeably different. So then if you wash a weekday clothing, a weekday item, and the car brings it, wear one item that is a weekday piece of clothing, remind one that it is for 9 days. The same thing when it comes to Nigunim. The old meaning is that Lechadodi is sang with the tune of Eli Tzion, which is from the Kinnis, and there's a pasuk in Leining, Echa Esalavadi, Torachem Amasachem, Moshe Rabbeinu says that he complained to Kosh Baruch Hu, how can he carry the burden of this nation? We say it in the tune of Echa, and there's also the Haftarah, people say, with a tune of Echa. So again, these things are Minhagim. These are the older Minhagim, again, the Vilna Gaon and the Chazanish. They were the opinion that one should not be doing it with a Echa tune, but rather stick to the regular tune because you don't make a difference. I guess every community does according to their minute. They have a rabbi fasting for them. There's some shuls that they put up a black parochus for Shabbos Chazon. Again, that's a symbol of Avelis for Fahesia. Some say yes, some say no. Something that's mutter is to have fresh towels for Shabbos. Although generally we don't change our clothing, but you can change your towels, have fresh towels in the house. Another thing that's going to be mutter on Shabbos is to sing the regular Zemiris. There's a Shalom Zohar, you have the regular Shalom Zohar. If there's an Oif Ruf, you can have an Oif Ruf. Mariel had a whole discussion. He had an Oif Ruf on Shabbos Chazon because I think it was his son and his daughter was getting married. The days following Tisha B'Av, and he had a whole discussion whether he should be wearing Shabbos clothing with Sinai. Obviously, he didn't usually wear Shabbos clothing on the Shabbos Chazon, and this week was a discussion whether he should or shouldn't. Lamaisa, the stifler, brings that the actual Aliyah LaTorah should be done the week before he gets married, which means on Shabbos Chazon. But if you're going to make a Kiddush for the public, then do it the week before. So essentially, our Shabbos should pretty much look like any other Shabbos Chazon. The fact that Tisha B'Av is not going to make much of a difference. The difference comes when we get towards the end of the day. Halachically speaking, on an Erev Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av is a day which is also in learning Torah in things that bring joy. In other words, one should rather learn in Yonim that are related to Tisha B'Av. Dine Avelus, Dine Tisha B'Av. The Gemaras about the Chulvan, those type of things that one learns may learn on Tisha B'Av. But other things which bring enjoyment, one should not learn on Tisha B'Av. On a regular year, we say already from Chatzos and Erev Tisha B'Av, one should avoid doing such a thing. Interesting, Chassam Sofer, he says the reason for that is that when a person learns something good, he says the good feeling and the geschmack that he has from the learning continues with him for a couple of hours afterwards. So if you learn something on Tisha B'Av afternoon, Tisha B'Av night, you're still excited from what you learned in the afternoon. So the question is, do we say the same thing on Shabbos? Because after all, it's Shabbos, but yet it's also Erev Tisha B'Av. Lamaisa, we paskin and say that if it's going to cause a person to not learn, because we tell him that there's certain things he shouldn't do, then it's better that he should learn, and he should learn what's Mashi Liboy Chavetz. Rather learn something that appeals to you and will keep you learning rather than choose something which is depressing and might discourage you from learning. Also, if there are public shiurim, then those public shiurim should not be cancelled, but rather they should continue as usual. Regabe Suda Shlishi, so we say the din is that one may eat a regular Sefer Shlishi. There's a Lashon wrote in the Paskim, Mafilu Male Ashokhan and Kashlama Hamenech Be'ez Mahosoi. One may make a Sefer Shlishi even with the proportions of what Shlomo Melech might have made at his time as king. So interesting, there's the other Paskim say, no, you've got to be Lamayet. And Lamaisa, Halacha Lamaisa, there is, well, the way we pass it in Shulchan Aruch, is that whatever you usually have for Sefer Shlishi is what you should have this week as well. If you usually do not have fleishiks at your Shalosh Shudas, then this is not a week to introduce that. And if you usually have guests, then this week you may also have guests. If you don't usually have guests, then this is not a week to have guests. If you use these shing smiris, then you may sing smiris. Whatever one normally does, nothing should look different from the way that you do it in a regular Shabbos. You may do that again. You may do as is normal on a regular Shabbos. The difference will be now is that you've got to stop before Shkia. Usually we start Shalosh Shudas, say 10 minutes, half an hour before Shkia or something like that. Some people even a minute before Shkia are still running and then wash before for Sefer Shlishi. This week you've got to take into account that after Shkia we don't eat anymore. We don't take on the Dinei Avelus until nightfall, but we refrain from eating from Shkia onward. And therefore, in all communities this week, Mincha on Shabbos afternoon is going to be earlier than usual to allow people to start their Shalosh Shudas earlier so that they can be able to get their eating in beforehand. So once Shkia has arrived, then we don't actively go do something, but we refrain. Meaning, what is also on Tisha B'Av is to wash one's hands, to eat, to drink. Those things we are going to stop from Shkia onwards, but to take off shoes and put on your Tisha B'Av shoes, we're not going to do that, because that's an act of showing up Avelus and Shabbos, so that we don't do. So to sitting down low, we don't do on after Shkia either, we only do that from Nacht. Rabbi Karp brings that certain Gedolim had the habit, or the Hanhaga, let's call it, that they would remove their shoes way earlier in the afternoon, and spend the afternoon without shoes on. So that when Shkia came, they were without shoes already, and it wouldn't be noticeable that they took them off for the sake of the Avelus, so then there wouldn't be an act of showing Avelus and Shabbos, but it was off already from beforehand. The person wants to do that, Asher Loi V'Asher Chelkos. So too, when Shabbos clothing one doesn't take off until nightfall has come. Once nightfall has come, so then one takes off shoes, one changes out of Shabbos clothing and puts on weekday clothing, and one prepares for the evening. Preparation for the evening, obviously, as we know, is an Issa Hachona, and therefore it's not a time between Shkia and Nacht to go prepare for what you need to take with the shul and you make a collection of your shoes and slippers and kindness books and all the rest. Either that should be prepared from before Shabbos or you wait for Nacht to prepare it. The old minute was something in the Still Keepers minute that people went to shul on Moti Shabbos, the regular time. So you arrived in shul while it was still Shabbos. And Marish started with the onset of Tzitzit L'Chol, of nightfall. So people would come to shul with their shoes on. So what would be done was that they would, people would be in shul with shoes on. The chazan would start Marib, and once he said barfuls, that is already a signal that it's now weekday, then everybody would take their shoes off. Obviously, you have to be careful when you take your shoes off that you don't touch them, because you need to go wash your hands. But that was the minute in a lot of communities that they went to shul with the shoes on. The chazan said barful, and then everybody took their shoes off. That fits with the olden day minhag of people not wearing Shabbos clothing on Shabbos Chazayin, so they came to shul anyway in their weekday clothing. Today, where the minhag is to wear Shabbos clothing, so it would have to be that after Baruch, not only would you take your shoes off, but you'd have to turn the whole shul into one large cloakroom and everybody would have to change. And therefore, it has become the accepted minhag nowadays that Maariv and Moti Shabbos is done a little bit later than usual, so that people at Nacht can take off their shoes and can change out into the weekday clothing, and then they go to shul and they start Maariv already in Tisha B'Av mode. Lagabe Havdalah is not done on Moti Shabbos, since we cannot drink anything, so therefore we cannot make Havdalah. Therefore the correct time for Havdalah becomes Sunday night. And the nafka mina is, usually we say that if a person governs Maariv, they need to say Akachonantanu, the addition of Havdalah in the Tfilah of Maariv. And if a person forgot to say Akachonantanu, so we say that he does not repeat Shmoneh Esrei. Why? Because later, you know, when he comes home, he's going to be making Havdalah. Therefore, there's no need to repeat Shmoneh Esrei because he's anyway going to make Havdalah later. If, for whatever reason, a person's not going to be making Havdalah late that night, for example, he does not have wine available to make Havdalah on, and he's only going to be making Havdalah the next day because that's when he's going to be called with wine, then, in such a case, we would say that he has to repeat Shmoneh Esrei if he left out Akachonim Tano. However, this doesn't apply on Tisha B'Av. Even though we are not going to be making Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos, nevertheless, that's because it's officially deferred to Sunday night. Not that it's supposed to be done then and you personally can't, but rather the official time for Havdalah is deferred to Sunday night, and that's considered its time, and therefore if the person forgot to say Atachonim Tano in Shmoneh Esrei, he does not repeat Shmoneh Esrei, but like in the other Motzei Shabbos, you can't do Malachas until you said some form of Havdalah. Therefore, the person needs to say either Atachonim Tano in Shmoneh Esrei, and if he didn't, or he's not governing Maariv, then a person has to say Baruch HaMadim in Kodesh HaChol before doing any Malachas. When it comes to eating, you have to make Havdalah beforehand, so we'll discuss that in a minute, what would be for those who have to eat. Now, Havdalah is always made with fire and with besamim. On Motzei Tisha B'Av, we did not take besamim, because we did, Dafka do not want to have the extra advantage of the good feeling on the besamim. But Borei Moreh Esh was still chayavim, and if you don't make it on Motzei Shabbos, you lose out. Borei Moreh Esh cannot be made on the Sunday morning. The person forgot to make Havdalah and makes it later, he does not take a candle. Therefore, we make Borei Moreh Esh at night. Now, Lemaisa, there is a discussion with a woman of Chayiv in making bracha Borei Moreh Esh, and therefore the correct thing is that they should try hear the bracha from a man. When people went to shul, like I said, straight away, and they started the fast in shul, and then that's when they took their shoes off, etc., etc., then the minute was to make Borei Moreh Esh before the reading of Eicha. Today, because we start Maariv late and people already start weekday things beforehand, so the minig of Gosse has become that the head of the household will make Borei Moreh Esh at home and it will be Moitzi everybody else. If for whatever reason he doesn't, or a woman doesn't have a man available to make the bracha for her, the boss can come to the conclusion that she may make the bracha for herself. So then when it comes to Moitzi Tisha B'Av, we make Havdalah. You can make Havdalah on wine, grape juice, and you drink it not like a regular Motzei Shabbos Chazoin, where we give it to a child to drink. Here, even though it's Motzei Tisha B'Av, we drink the wine ourselves, and we do make Havdalah as a regular Motzei Shabbos, with the exception of that we do not have the fire and we do not have the besamim, but we make regular Havdalah on Motzei Tisha B'Av before we eat. What about a person who is ill, a person who, for whatever reason, especially this year that it's a nidche, so it's going to be easier going on people, therefore, particular women who are pregnant or nursing, they're going to be a particular maker with them, so they need to eat in Tisha B'Av. What about Havdalah? So generally speaking, we say that a person who needs to eat in Tisha B'Av has to make Havdalah beforehand. Havdalah should be made on Chama Medina, which is the local accepted drink that is not water. What that is a massive machlokes, anything between Coca-Cola, orange juice, tea, coffee, beer, and a person who feels that he doesn't know what Chama Medina is. Rabbi Yashi was very matner on that we don't know what Chama Medina is nowadays, should rather just take grape juice and not ask any questions. Take grape juice, but do not take wine unless it's the only thing available. And then you make Havdalah before eating on the fast. So if you have someone who's a chole, someone who needs to eat in Tisha B'Av, then before he has his first meal, he needs to make Havdalah. Once this person makes Havdalah, then he can be moitzi his whole family. So even though the rest of the family is fasting, but they can listen to the Havdalah, and they do not need another Havdalah later. So if you have, let us say, the head of the household is not well, and he needs to eat in Tisha B'Av, so moitzi at night, he will make Havdalah and be moitzi everybody else, and no one else needs to have Havdalah again. Now, because woman, it's a discussion whether woman should be making Havdalah or should not be making Havdalah. So, generally speaking, on a Motzei Shabbos, we say that if a woman is on her own and there's no one to make Havdalah for her, then she should make Havdalah by herself. Here, there's a discussion that maybe because of the fact that you can eat without Abdullah because it's a fast. So some say if she knows she's going to get a man to make Abdullah for a moitzi Tisha B'Av, then preferably on Tisha B'Av, she should eat without making Abdullah and then just rely on the Abdullah she's going to get later. Another interesting question is, can you take Kaleh Tzoyim, all these drops, pills, food supplements that people take in order to have an easier fast, however they work, if they work relevant, but people do take it and people do feel better. So can you take it on chance? So generally speaking, we say that taking such a thing is considered as taking medication and like taking medication, and therefore one should not take these things on Shabbos, A, because it's a chana, and B, because it's medication. However, there is a way to take it, and that is if it is pre-prepared before Shabbos. Part of the idea, or the reason why we don't take medicine on Shabbos, is because we're worried of shchikas samamonim. The way medicine was taken in the olden days was before taking the medicine, it had to be ground up. So today, all our medicines are ground already and prepared in tablet form, but nevertheless, we have a gzera on all medications called shchikas samamonim, that if you allow this medicine, people might come to take that one, and that one will need grinding. But something which has been prepared in advance, so then we say that there's no gzera anymore because he's done that grinding. So if you take a Kaleh Tzoyim and you've prepared it in advance by perhaps grinding it up or mix it into something, that would take care of that point. Then there's also the problem of achana. So you mix it into food and you eat it as food. So if you mix it into a porridge and inside the porridge you have your Kaleh Tzoyim, so that would be permissible. So the best is to, on Friday, prepare what you're going to be taking, whether it's a liquid that you prepare in a juice or whether it's a tablet that you crushed into some other food, whatever it is. So you prepare it in a solution, in a mixture, and then you can take that mixture on Shabbos. Children who need to eat on Tisha B'Av, we say they should not make Haftarah. They should just rely on what the father's going to be making later on, and that's fine. Okay, so that's basically, we've covered most of what's the beginning. Again, Shabbos is a regular Shabbos. We don't do anything different than a regular Shabbos. We just don't go overboard what we normally do. In other words, as we said, fleishigs or having guests for Shalosh Shudos is only something that a person normally does. If he doesn't normally do it, he shouldn't do it. The restrictions start already at Shkia, but the showing of Avedos you only do from Nacht, so that we're taking our shoes and changing our clothes and sitting on the floor. You only do once it is nightfall. Havdalah we don't do until Moitzi Tisha B'Av, and unless someone needs to eat, and even then, best is to hear from a man who's going to be making Havdalah. And one other thing I want to mention is that since the 9th of Av is in Shabbos, and the Sunday is already the 10th of Av, so usually on Tisha B'Av we say that because the Beis Hamikdash burnt started in the 9th in the afternoon, and essentially continued in most of the burning took place in the 10th, so we have meaning is to keep a certain amount of Avelos on the 10th as well. That doesn't apply this year, and therefore once Tisha B'Av is over, all the Avelos is over, with the exception of meat and wine. Because of the severity of the day, so we say that it is incorrect to celebrate with meat and wine at the end of the day. That would be a bit of an anticlimax. Therefore, that we should refrain from, but washing and laundering and those type of things may be done on Sunday night. So this coming Sunday night, you can really start doing laundry and you can take showers, baths and all the rest. Legabe music, there's no clear cut halacha as to what the din is. The minute is to refrain from music on Moetzi Tanya, just like we refrain from meat and wine. But by Monday morning, all the restrictions have come to an end. And with that, we wish everybody that our Tisha B'Av should be successful. We should be zoicha, liras b'binyana. So someone who's misabel properly is zoicha to see the binyana. So we should this should be a time of geula for us, and we should be improved people and deserving of a geula. And we're then going to take a break now for Ben Azmanin, who won't be shia over the 3 weeks, and then when Elo comes, we'll get back to go back to Yerushalayim.
Shukla.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have an easy fast.